Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media. The king of tweets.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Dan Burris back on the show. So you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me. Dan is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He and I go way back. He is he's one of the visionaries of technology. He's in a lot of ways a futurist. He's a professional speaker. He's got written a number of books, including Techno Trends, which is one of my favorites. And he is the author and the publisher of an outstanding monthly publication that he distributes, and I'm the happy recipient of Techno Trends. And he's one of the guys we look to when we're trying to find out where technology is going, where your next technology is going to come from, and how it's going to impact you. Is it going to be good for you, or is it going to be maybe something you got to be careful about? And he's a good friend. Dan Burris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back, Dan. Dan, one of the things that I know you've been reporting on lately are some of the significant shifts that are happening in technology, and I want you to talk to us about some of those.
I think that's a real good place to start, because in small or medium-sized businesses, you have to pay attention right now to what's taking place. And basically, Jim, there's two giant revolutions that are happening right now, and they're happening faster than we've ever seen ever before. One is a hardware revolution, and the other is a software revolution, and they have the ability to not only lower your costs, but to drive revenue. So those are two good things we want to know about.
Talk to us about hardware.
All right, let's talk about the hardware first. A long time ago, if you wanted to access a computer, you had to use a mainframe and a terminal. And then as time passed, all of a sudden desktops got powerful enough that that became your main tool, but mainframes and terminals did not go away. Then, as time passed a little farther, laptops became your main tool to access the internet and the compute. But desktops and terminals and mainframes, of course, still did not go away. We still have them. But your main tool became the laptop. Well, right now, the fundamental shift that's happening is your main computing tool is becoming your phone. Mm-hmm. And that is that smartphone. And with Apple launching the iPad, it's the beginning of a class of computers I would call smart pads. That is a revolutionary type of computing device.
You know,
and
Dan.
So now you have a multimedia computer with you at all times with high definition video conferencing, all of these capabilities, and that is a game changer from a hardware standpoint.
You know, Dan, the a year or so ago, Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, said something, and I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit. But basically, he said Google will be more successful in the future with mobile than they ever have. He meant the things you're talking about, the handsets. They'll be more successful with mobile in the future than they ever have been or ever will be with a desktop.
Well, that's because we have this revolution, and if they stuck with the desktop, they would be when is the last time you bought something from Polaroid?
Yeah.
So, in other words, if you want to be a dodo and be obsolete, you have to move with the future if you don't want to have that fate. And he saw that. As a matter of fact, people that are using their smartphones and for now their computing, frankly, they're not doing searches anymore, which means Google is rapidly not being used. So they needed to launch the Droid. They needed to get into that. Otherwise, they would be out of business. So this is a lesson not only for Google. A lesson for small business, and that is you sit around and do nothing or wait and see when there is a major revolution taking place. And, well, worse than even Polaroid, by the way, an interesting little side note on Polaroid, they were in instant photography. Well, isn't that what digital is? They could have pioneered digital, but they didn't.
Right.
They failed. And Kodak took 10 years before it got into digital. In other words, it failed for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Until it finally got into the digital, and by the way, now it's the only profitable part of Kodak. So can you afford to fail for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years?
No small business can afford to do that.
No. So this is a wake-up call. Let's talk about software just a second. We got a software.
Well, the interesting thing about the new hardware is how it is leveraging, how it's being used to leverage more software. I mean, the two where for a long time we thought hardware was going to be the stepchild. It's actually the new tool to leverage more software, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's been that way for quite a while, but we need the innovative. We needed the hardware to get powerful enough to really take advantage of the software, and we're finally at that point where we've got bandwidth, meaning our wireless and wired bandwidth being powerful enough, storage, which is almost infinite now at this point, and again, price dropping on all this stuff,
and the ubiquity of the wireless is important too. Hold on to that thought, Dan. We got to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. Right back with Dan Burris. More to come. You don't want to miss this fascinating information after these messages. Stay with us.
Feeling like I ought to sleep.
We're back. It's 17 till. That's a little Booker T and the MGs bringing us back. Time is, in fact, tight. Nowhere is it tighter than on a talk show host. On a talk show, a radio talk show is an imprecise activity in a precise environment. I'm Jim Blasingame. I've been doing this for over 12 years, and I've learned that. That's one thing I've learned about doing this job. And one of the other things I've learned about doing this job is that there's some really smart people out there who are willing to share their time and their expertise with you. And one of those guys is our good friend and our longtime Brain Trust member, Dan Burris, a technology futurist, the author of Techno Trends, et cetera, et cetera. Dan, tell us how we can find you online.
You can go to Burris, BURRUS.com, and you'll find all sorts of resources.
You find your books there. They can find out how to subscribe to your monthly newsletter.
And PDFs they can download of articles about how to grow your business, all that kind of stuff.
Lots of stuff there at BURRUS2Rs.com. Dan, we were talking about, you were telling us about we were making the transition from the new groundbreaking hardware that people, more and more people are developing. It seems like Apple's doing most of it, and how that's leveraging things. But that hardware wouldn't be very effective if it weren't for the new software, which is primarily in the cloud these days, isn't it?
Yes. Well, let's put another little different twist on that to help people understand. Let's use that same analogy I used before in the hardware, because there's a software revolution. At one time, of course, it was all enterprise software, because that's all there was mainframes and terminals. In the 80s, Microsoft, Apple, and others came up with package software. A good example is Microsoft Office. Mm-hmm. But now we've got another software revolution, and it is apps. And apps is very unique in that these apps, for example...
Apps being the contraction of applications.
Yes. These are little applications, mini applications that you can load on your phone, your smartphone, or your smart pad. And so they're right there on the phone or the pad. Remember, the phone and the pad are becoming your main computing device. And they're either free or extremely inexpensive. They're easy to install. They're easy to delete. And they are very customized. For example, I happen to have an iPhone, and my iPhone is probably different than anybody else's because out of the 300,000 apps that are available on the App Store, I have a combination that allowed me to personalize my phone for me. In other words, I don't have an iPhone. I've got Dan's phone, designed by me, for me, to suit my needs. And, the revolution is fast, small business. Pay attention, because there's over 5 billion of these things have been downloaded, and to get to the last billion only took 30 days. So we're talking about a very rapid revolution. And it's time for small business to wake up to this, because we are
Dan, one of the things, Dan, that I've been telling my audience that fits perfectly what you're talking about. And folks, you know when I've talked to you about making sure that you realize your website is no longer a destination. People aren't going to come and hang out on your website. It's got to become a distribution center. You've got to be pushing your stuff out to people who are giving you permission. And one of the ways they give you permission to follow them home, you've heard me talk about that. One of the ways they're giving you permission to follow them home is through these apps that Dan is talking about. Go ahead,
Dan. Exactly. And, Jim, you're right on target. And let me put a little twist on that follow them home. Now, home is not where their laptop is. Home is in their purse or their wallet. Wherever they are. And that is really important. It also allows them to engage, because if we used to in marketing and advertising, it was all static. In other words, we put things out there and hope they read it. Now we're doing is engaging them and getting them to use it and to click on it and to take action and become involved. It's becoming a dynamic communication tool, an engagement tool, right, rather than a passive reception tool. So,
you know,
when I think about
all the things we're talking about, I think of power. I think of processing power. I think of communication power, of interactive power. And the apps that you're talking about, those are the user interfaces, aren't they, between the publisher and the consumer, and connecting them with this processing power, this connectivity power. That's the beauty of the apps. It's the switch. It's the toggle switch.
Absolutely. And two things to think about. This last August, when we were at the low part of our depression, they've called it, I launched an apps business. And because I could see these revolutions being a good time to try something. And came up with an entirely new way of making money on apps, which I'm happy to share with you if people are interested, which is very different than what we have now and much more lucrative, by the way. And also started to really think about enterprise-level apps. In other words, apps to help you sell, apps to help you market, apps for sales reps, apps for logistics, apps for purchasing, apps for...
Now, I want you to tell us about this in a teaching way. This business you've launched, this apps business, is it in the business of developing apps or in the business of marketing apps, or what are you doing? What's the business model?
We develop the apps, and of course we've come up here. Let me just give you a quick look at this model, because it's very unique. Because before I started, the only way to make money on apps was to create an app, put it out there, and either it was free and it would help you build your brand, or you charge 99 cents or a dollar for a download.
Right.
That's it. Once you got the download, that's it. Revenue stream ended. And what I did is I came up with a model where I came out with, I launched three apps to start with. By the way, they're called Complete Homes, Complete Foreclosures, and Complete Rentals. So I covered all the foreclosed homes in the nation, all the homes that are for sale in the nation, and all the rentals in the nation. And I did that because of research, by the way. I found out there were 20 million searches a month for foreclosed homes and no apps.
Right.
So anyway...
But you created apps for those, and then did you sell them or did you give them away?
No. Well, you know what? I gave them away. I made them all free. And here's some firsts that I did that will stimulate the listeners' thinking.
Hold on to that thought, Dan. Folks, we're going to let Dan use his example as a way of showing you how you can do something like this in your own way. And it might be just about your restaurant or your garage or your farm or your small manufacturing company or distribution company, whatever. And we'll do that after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there, the knowledge base, the articles, the archives, all the things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to take our poll question this week, which is on vacations. Are you taking a vacation? Can you take a vacation? What do you think about that? And when you click on your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Dan Burris is our guest. He's the author of Techno Trends. He's a technology futurist and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And Dan, you were telling us about your apps business and how you saw this. Even though that's not even the business you're in, you actually decided to form a business out of what you saw coming, which was applications available to these small form devices like hand phones, smartphones, and iPads, etc. And you developed a company, and so tell us how you did it, and while also explaining how we could do it.
Right. Well, I want our listeners to think out of the box, and that's exactly what I did. I did my research, thought out of the box. So all the apps before I started were you would collect money for the download, and that's it. No recurring revenue. I wanted recurring revenue. The most successful apps generated about $1 million a year. I thought, why not $60 million every year? So I thought very different. So what I did was I made all three of the real estate, that's where I went first, although I'm already getting into other fields, and I made them all free because my research showed you get 10 times more users
right.
for free. And what I did is I charged $24.99 per zip code for a realtor to be in the app.
Ah.
And I made it exclusive, only one realtor per zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And at $24.99 a month. And by the way, I've never had a realtor buy less than three zips. I've never had, and the most any one zip has ever bought is 50. And if you add up all the zip codes, of course, not all of them will be taken, but most of them will be. That's about $1.1 million a month every month. And then I am selling zip codes to mortgage companies. So let's say you need a loan. Well, that's another $1.1 a month. And then you need a moving company. Well, you
so
know,
they became basically they became the funder of your business model the way maybe a sponsor would have been in another medium.
Exactly. So now what I have is recurring revenue, which no one had ever done before. Matter of fact, I was making money before the app was launched. Nobody ever did that before. I've got a recurring revenue model that is fantastic. I'm building a brand, not an app. I'm making them better all the time, getting them on all the platforms. And by the way, if anyone wants to check it out, you could go to visionaryapps.com and see what they look like.
This is a good way of seeing what it could look like. And you hired somebody to build your apps. You hired somebody to do the research. You didn't do all this yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just had the idea, and you pulled the contractors together and put it together and made the business.
Absolutely. So in as a small business, ask yourself, do I want to use it as a giveaway to help build my brand? Do I want to get myself, as Jim has said, I want that home in your pocket in the form of an app? Do I want to have it to help me do better at purchasing and create a purchasing app and not only use it internally for myself but maybe sell it to the other people in my industry?
Right.
Do I want to create a new way for people to buy my products? Do I want to create an app for my vendors or for my business partners that helps us relate and talk to each other better when any time of the day?
You could do an app for a local marketplace, couldn't you? You could do an app for restaurants in Sheboygan or something like that. I mean, obviously you were thinking on a large scale, but if somebody wanted to think on a small scale, they could do something like that. The app, and these are not expensive things to develop either, are they?
No, not expensive, and there's a lot of people now that know how to program. Really what you need to do is to take some time to think about what you'd like to do, and then, as I emphasize, do your homework. Do the research, and then the third thing is decide to do it right. We didn't launch within a month. We spent months and months doing research, and then we spent some months making sure that the program was right, testing it out, making sure we had
But then you had to become part of the, for example, iPhone apps. Was there any problem with that? Does that take time to do, or what does that do?
No, it's easy. By the way, within the first week of launch, we were the 17th most downloaded app of all apps in Apple. We were rated number 6 out of all the business apps, and we were featured in the first week in the Wall Street Journal, Fortune, and Forbes, and we've been since in 40 major publications. And
so there's something to shoot for. So give us the website where they can find it again.
VisionaryApps.com.
Visionary Apps. So, folks, if you want to see what a success story looks like and then model yours after that, I'm sure Dan will help you if you need that. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. We hope you'll come back again real soon.
Sure will. Pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. Dan Burris, ladies and gentlemen. So check him out. That's Burris2Rs.com if you want to check his own website out. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.